I'm going to do an analysis of the work called Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. My first impression of this book was I didn't like it because I was just like, you know, it's pornographic, it's violent. But then I realized this is kind of like an uncensored reality of the 19th and 18th centuries. This is like the way things actually were, most likely the 18th century. But it's important that we understand that in Gulliver's Travels, we see life uncensored. We see all the things, a lot of things we see today. And I'm just going to go through the four societies that Gulliver comes across. So the first is the Lilliputians, and the Lilliputians are, you know, they're little people. They think they're bigger than they actually are. They think they're more important than they actually are. They're kind of like this little tiny people that just sits there and wars among themselves, and basically that's what they do. They just war among themselves. They think themselves this great center of the universe, but they're actually very small because obviously Gulliver is really tall. The Lilliputians are about 6 inches tall. And then you have the Brogdon Bags, and these guys are really interesting because, like, you see, they're bigger than Gulliver, so all their passions are magnified. Their magnanimous qualities are much greater. Their bad qualities are much greater, too, because, like, there's this one point where the woman who has Gulliver as a pet, she masturbates with Gulliver. Like, she takes Gulliver and masturbates with him, uses him as, like, a dildo. And I mean this to speak this, like, that's what she does. And, you know, it's like, and then that part really shocked me. I was like, this is a really strange story to have that kind of thing in there. And then it goes on where, like, they don't like books. The King of Brogdonbad does not like books. He only has a bookshelf of about 1,000 because he figures, like, all the information that's necessary is only confined in, like, 1,000 books. And then there's other things like that. Like, he's more interested in growing corn than politics, but there was civil war. And I come to this thought that some of the things that he does are not really that great. Like, for instance, I like books. I like the fact that we can publish whatever we want and they're all over the place. Even if I disagree with a lot of them, it's great that they're there. It's like they're this sacred thing in the Western culture that we allow books, which was just starting to happen back then. People were publishing books, which Gulliver's Travels was probably censored as a naughty book. But then, of course, Gulliver gets carried off by bird in his house and dropped in the sea and discovered. And then you get to the Laputans and the island of Balnibarbi. And I've seen people do analysis of this, but they don't get it. Like, this, the thing that makes the Laputans so, like, enticing to me is the fact that they are just so stupid. It's like, this is the way scientific-minded people are. They invent these circumlocutious ways of doing things that don't make sense. Like, for instance, the Laputans were sitting there doing calculus in order to fit a garment on Gulliver. And one analysis I saw this said, like, well, they just didn't have the advanced science. Well, I think they had pretty advanced science because they had basically a floating island that's more advanced than we have today. Like, the idea here is that if you're scientifically minded, if your head are in the stars or your head in, like, these really niche scientific things, like, you're not actually doing anything right. Like, this whole culture we have today of pedantry and, like, hyper-technicality and technocracy and technology, it's not good. And this criticism is as far back as the 18th century because, like, obviously there is something in the mind of a mathematician that cannot grasp human things. They cannot grasp them, and that's why they know nothing of politics, and they should. Whereas you have the contrast of the one man who knows about politics and he organizes his land and he makes people prosperous, but then you get this, like, kind of concession that the people don't really like him. Like, the people prefer these, like, really circumnavigous ways to do their daily business that they don't work because they're just too complicated, let's be honest. I think that's, like, another fact of Gulliver's Travels, this particular criticism, is that the ways that they are doing things are just too complicated for the human brain to do. For instance, making someone do calculus as a tailor is kind of a stupid way to do it when we got easier ways. Another example is these people, like, they're doing these insane experiments. We do insane experiments now. They're just insane. Why are you doing these things? We have all these false science out today that really the only reason why we accept them is because they're within a marginalia of efficiency. It's really not that much. And we accept them. You know, chocolate's good for you. Milk's good for you. Milk's bad for you. Take this oil. It's good for you. Take this Wonder Pill. It's going to help your joints. Sit there and stick your feet on this little thing. It's going to move them. It's going to help your circulation. Snake oil, snake oil, snake oil, snake oil. But they're all backed by scientific studies. All these ideas we have today that are quote unquote science, they're bad ideas and they're not fitted to human nature. And then we get to the next one, which which is the necromancer, and he goes through all the different people who are basically throughout history. That was really interesting because there's a lot of speculations on history of what actually happened, which is just an interesting part. Not really that interesting, but it's kind of a good little sidetrack until you get into the next place, which is where, and it's really minor, these two, where like basically they're people who are immortal, and it's just saying like you don't really want immortality if it comes with aging, because it'll just make you really, really depressed. And you have nothing, which I would extend that further. You don't really want immortality in general, because everything in this life, you could live this life. If you live in this life for 5,000-6,000 years, you're going to get bored of it. There's got to be something better. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a Christian, is because I wouldn't want to live in this earth for more than however long I'm going to live. I want to go somewhere else where there's just better things. There's so much suffering, disease, violence, which this book does a great job at cataloging. Its descriptions of battle is so grotesque and so real, almost like Jonathan Swift actually fought in battles. And it's so true that like these scathing critiques of humankind are like put to their zenith at the Hunanims. And the Hunanims are horses. They talk like people. They have like their own little horse language, and they call human beings yahoos. And again, I saw a criticism of this saying like the yahoos were like oppressed. That's not what you're supposed to think about it. The yahoos are just animals. They're like monkeys. We don't have human relations. We don't have human thoughts toward monkeys. They're subpar. They're animals. Even at the end of the story, Gulliver makes pelts out of them. He makes clothes out of the skins of the yahoos, showing how desperately depraved these things are. They're just animals. And the yahoos are a critique of human nature, like the baseness of human nature, like the fundamental id drives of the human being, how deplorable they are. There's this one part where a yahoo climbs a tree and poops on Gulliver. It's like, well, you know, how does he have this idea? I don't know, but probably from getting pooped on by a monkey when he was doing his real travels. But you know, it's so real because this is something that you think a human would do in its like primitive state. And the yahoos, it shows this baseness of their greed and their violence and their detestability. Contrast that with intelligent horses who are very meek and mild and full of reason. And they are horses. Like there's things in there that they're explaining about horse kind. You know, for instance, a horse dies. The horses don't really get that upset about the death of another horse. You have to take that imaginative scope that these are horses when you're reading the Hunanims and understand that these are horses. And it's basically, you can almost see it as the author, Jonathan Swift, explaining to a horse human nature. That's the way I interpret this part of the book, which is probably, like I said, Gulliver's Travels just gets better and better with each episode. And you think, after the Laputans, how could it get any better? And it does. It's like, these Hunanims, this is probably the zenith of literature. The contrast of the horse's nature, of meekness, mildness, reason, and just all these lofty ideals, agrarian community, contrast with the complete anarchy of the yahoos, which the yahoos, again, are just animals. This is not like, the horses are not oppressing the yahoos. The yahoos are the horses. Like, we don't oppress horses when we make them draw a sled. The same thing as the Hunanims aren't oppressing the yahoos when they make them draw a sled, because they're animals. I don't need to say, because we should not be relating to the yahoos. We should be relating to the Hunanims. The Hunanims represent man's better nature, not the yahoos. The yahoos are everything we need to distance ourselves from and are evil. And it's just, it's scary, I know, to think of human nature like that, but I think it's important that we separate our humanity, which is bound up in the Hunanim, because there is a lot of humanity bound up in a horse. All of man's better nature is in a horse. If a horse were intelligent, it would be a better than a man. And that's the thing, like the yahoos are the nature of man that causes war and violence, and we need to understand that part of us needs to be treated as if it were an animal and be rejected, and we need to be more like the Hunanims.